Let's look in the Gospel of John chapter 10 for a little while here tonight. John chapter 10. I'm going to read three verses, verses 14 and 15, and then skip down to verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Skipping down to 27, the same chapter. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise God. Amen. One of the most blessed things about being a Christian is that you enter into a spiritual realm that you couldn't understand until you got saved, until you were born of the Spirit. You can talk about it, you can hear about it, but when you're born of the Spirit, and especially when you're filled with the Spirit, then you are entering into a realm that the unsaved, those in the world, don't understand anything about. They can't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. Amen. Praise God. So it's a wonderful thing to be born of the Spirit. And one of the things that God does whenever you are born again is you come into the understanding. Now, I do know that God speaks to sinners. God deals with sinners, and He speaks to the unsaved. And God, in His mercy and His long reach for the lost, He talks to them and deals with them. And I'm thankful that He does. But it's not the same, because when you become a child of God, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, then you are able to hear the voice of God. You just have to be attentive. You know, at WYG radio or any radio station, there is a signal that's being sent out. Ours is a 50,000 watt FM signal that's being sent out from up on top of Raccoon Mountain. It doesn't matter if the signal is going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which it does, but it does no one any good unless they tune in. They have to have a radio, and it has to have the capability to tune in to the FM dial to be able to pick up the signal. The same is true for the children of God. That God is speaking, and He has always spoke to His people. It's just one of the wonderful things about the Lord and our relationship that we have with Him is that God talks to His people. He speaks to His people. And I think that one of the things that's hindered us, our attention to the voice of the Lord, is that there's been so many wild and crazy things under the guise of God told me this or God told me that. And we've heard that to the point that we get a little standoffish now if someone starts talking about God spoke to me and God said this and God told me to go there and do this. We get a little cautious because there's been some extremes in that area that haven't at all been biblical and haven't been pleasing to the Lord. But that doesn't mean that He can't speak. And it doesn't mean that He isn't speaking. As a matter of fact, He is always speaking. We just need to tune in and hear the voice of the Lord. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, where you see the relationship of God with Adam and Eve. In the garden, the Bible says that they heard the voice of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, that the Lord would commune with them. The cool of the day, from what I can understand, the word there from the cool of the day, the Hebrew word, is like later in the evening, just before the sun goes down, that it was describing the cool down from the day, and just like a breeze, it would blow, and God would speak to them, and God would talk and commune with them. It says the voice of the Lord was walking. That's interesting, isn't it? That the voice of the Lord walking in the garden What's it talking about? That God's voice would walk. The word there also just means that God, that it's in pace. That as you go along, that God joins you, the Spirit of God would speak to Adam and Eve right in pace, whatever where they were going and what they were doing, God would commune with them and he would come alongside. And that's really the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us, to speak to us, and to direct our lives. God has always spoken to his people. He spoke to Abram, who became Abraham. The Lord spoke to him and told him, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot his nephew with him. Now, we know the story. It's so familiar to us. But if you could imagine the voice of the Lord speaking to Abram, who is living in a pagan land, but God speaks to him. He recognizes the voice of God, and he obeys the voice, packs everything up, and begins to move to a place that he's never been. And he didn't even know. God just said, go, and I'll show you where to go. He went out not knowing where he went. It was obedience, but he heard the voice of God. And apparently, the voice of the Lord made such an impression upon him that he said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you're telling me to do. And he obeyed the voice of the Lord. Remember the Apostle Paul in his one of his missionary journeys, that he talked about the fact that he was going to go through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. But it says we were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in that region. And then they went on a little bit further. And after they came to Mysia, they essayed, or it meant, the word means that they tested it. They tested the waters. They essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. But then that night in Troas, verse 9 of chapter 16, that's where Paul had the vision of the man in Macedonia praying and saying, come over and help us. Come to Macedonia and help us. And so the Holy Ghost spoke to the Apostle Paul and said, don't go there. And then the next time they thought, well, maybe he would want us to go to Bithynia. And so they tested it. I don't know how they tested it. Maybe they made a step in that direction. And the Spirit forbid them from going in that direction. You talk about someone that was sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Paul was in tune. He was listening to the voice of the Lord. And that night he has the dream. And the whole ministry opened up. And they go into Macedonia. And later on they went into Asia, the areas that they were forbidden of the Spirit to go. Later on they did go. That's where Ephesus was. That's where some of the other great ministry that the Apostle Paul had. But that wasn't the time. The Holy Ghost directed. The Spirit of God spoke and led them. Do you know that, yes, even in these times when people would misuse that wonderful blessing, God still speaks to his people. I think that sometimes we're just not attentive enough. We're not sensitive enough to the voice of the Spirit of God, to listen to God's voice and to understand. You know, some folks have kind of come to the conclusion, well, we're Christians, we're in the church, we're in the body of Christ, so that's really all that matters. And, you know, God doesn't have to be involved in every incidental detail of my life. But you don't know, if that's the way you believe, then you don't know what the Bible teaches about our lives. Our lives are absolutely dependent upon God. Every day of our life, the very next breath that you take, you're dependent on God. Every day of your life, You're trusting Him. You're depending upon the Lord. And as a born-again believer filled with the Spirit of God, we need to be listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, attentive unto His voice. Amen. God is a God who communicates with His people. As He spoke to Abraham, as He spoke to Paul, as He spoke to others, God is a Spirit. We're born of the Spirit, and He wants to talk to you too. He wants to direct your steps. Now, I think that we all are very much aware of the fact that the primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. And His Word directs us. And this Word of God, it is Holy Ghost inspired. The Spirit of God, inspired holy men of old, and they wrote as the Holy Ghost gave them the words to write. And so whenever you read the Bible, this is a Holy Ghost book. This is a book inspired of the Spirit of God. And so as a person born of the Spirit, you can read the Bible and you can hear the voice of God right in the pages of the Scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think it was one of the songs, maybe one of Fanny Crosby's songs that she talked about, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine, that we give attention to the Word of God, and so God speaks to us through the power of His Word. But as spiritual beings, we need to be tuned in to God. We need to be listening to the voice of the Lord. Does it matter? Yes, God is speaking. God speaks. God is always spoken. He speaks today through His Word. He speaks by His Son. He speaks by the power of the Spirit of God. And as believers, we need to be in tune with the voice of the Spirit of God. Not only the Word of God, but prayer. Prayer is a spiritual activity. It is not just a religious ritual you go through. It's not a formality. Prayer should be a time of communion between you and God. It should not be one-sided. It should not be doing all of the talking one-sided. You don't pray and pray and pray and pray without stopping and saying, okay, God, what do You have to say? It's just as spiritual to wait quietly in the presence of God. It's just as much a part of your prayer to be attentive unto the voice of the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if you're in a conversation with someone and they do all the talking and never take a breath and never give you an opportunity, that person is rude. They're not a very good friend, or at least certainly not a very good conversationalist. It needs to go back and forth, right? That's normal. And a person who wants to be the right kind of a friend is a person that's going to listen and then speak. Listen, speak, back and forth, kind of like a volley of conversation and words. That's communion. That's fellowship. That's what prayer ought to be. It's not just you doing all the talking, asking, praising God, calling on God, interceding, and using up all of your words. No, stop and pay attention. Wait on the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Take time to be quiet in the presence of the Lord, asking Him, Lord, what do You want to say to me about this situation? I've presented my needs. I've presented my petition. I've spent this time with You, Lord, but now I want to hear Your voice. I want to know, God, what You want to say to me about this need or this predicament or this situation that I'm in. Amen. So just as much as your prayer, a spiritual person will be a spiritual listener. Amen. He'll be attentive to the voice of the Lord. And he needs to be able to recognize. You see, God, from the text that we read there, God knows who His sheep are. He knows their voice. And He is known, and I'm known of mine. They know Him. They recognize the shepherd's voice. The sheep recognizes the sound of the sheep. He knows them all by name. He knows them all. He recognizes their cry. He understands what kind of a cry it is. Because he's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he knows your voice, and he knows who you are. But the sheep also know the voice of the shepherd. They hear his voice, and that voice is comforting to them. That voice keeps them in line with the rest of the herd. It keeps them safe by paying attention and listening to the voice of the shepherd. You know that time with God's word will make you more familiar with the voice of the Spirit of God. You spend time in the Bible, reading and studying and meditating on God's word, you will be able to recognize the voice of the Lord. Because there's also other voices out there. And just as much as God wants to speak to you, you have an enemy, an adversary, a devil that hates you, and he wants to kind of set on your shoulder and whisper in your ear too. Doubt and unbelief and discouragement and faithlessness and all kinds of defeat and hopelessness. All of those words, all of those things. The enemy, he wants to speak to you as well. But as a believer who spends time with God and time with the Word of God, you get familiar with the voice of the Lord. You spend a lot of time with someone. Now the phone rings. And if it's one of my wife's sisters, their voices sound a whole lot alike. But I have lived long enough with my wife, when she calls, I know her voice. Isn't that sweet? I know her voice. And I'm attentive under her voice. you can get familiar with the voice of the Lord. Get in tune with the voice of the Lord. And not only that, but you in your walk with the Lord, you can desire to hear his voice and long to hear the voice of God. And then you also, in order to hear the voice of God, you have to just shut out all these other voices. There's a lot of competition for your hearing, for your attention. A lot of things in this world constantly pulling at you and distracting you and keeping you from hearing the voice of the Lord. But many times you just have to shut that all out. That's why the Bible says that we should go into our closet. Get away. Go into a quiet place. Get alone with the Lord. Get in a quiet place so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. You desire to hear his voice. You spend time with his word so that you are familiar with his voice. And then you shut out all the other voices. Amen. I know I love to tell the stories from David Wilkerson's life because it's really incredible. All the many things that, and he was kind of an extraordinary man of faith. And I read some things recently that I had, you know, some of them I had read before, but I hadn't read it all. All of some of these things. One of the things was that most everybody knows that he was pastoring a church in eastern Pennsylvania when he felt the call of God to go to New York City. But before he went to the church in Pennsylvania, him and his wife agreed together, we're not going to take this church, we're not going to go to this church unless they unanimously vote for me to be there, for us to be here. And his wife, threw this in too because they'd visited the church, and she said, and also make sure that they clean out all and clear up the roach problem in the parsonage. And so when the vote came in, it was 100% for them to come. And then one of the board members threw in this statement and said, oh, and by the way, we're going to clean up that parsonage and make sure all those pests and all those things are cleared out of there. And it was confirmed that they heard the voice of the Lord to go there. Praise God. Amen. It's an interesting thing. In his ministry, I know you've heard that he prayed, sought the Lord, and got alone with the Lord, and God began to deal with him about going to New York City. One of the things that he did was he felt like the Lord spoke to him and said, remove the television from your home. And so he was going to do it. He was going to sell his TV. This is about 1959. I don't think TV had been out very long then. But he was going to sell his TV. And so he said to his wife, I'm going to put it in the paper. And I'm just going to put this fleece before the Lord, that if he really wants me to sell it, that it'll sell within 30 minutes after the newspapers come out. And she just kind of laughed and said, you must not be wanting to sell it that bad. Well, 29 minutes after that it came out on the newsstands, a man called and said, I'd like to buy your TV. How much do you want for it? And he told him the price, and the man said, save it. I'll be right over to pick it up. And he sold it. And that afforded him the opportunity to spend those hours with the Word of God in prayer to wait upon the Lord. And he sought the Lord, and he would spend time in his study seeking the Lord and praying. And God began to deal with him one evening, and as he was praying, he looked over, and someone had placed this Life magazine on his desk. And he thought at first, well, that's just a distraction, trying to distract me from prayer and from the Word of God. And so he ignored it, but the Spirit of God kept prompting him to look at that. So finally, he went over and he picked up that Life magazine, and he began to flip through it and saw the story of these teenage addicts in New York City and how that they were going to trial. And so he felt strong that the voice of the Lord was telling him to go to New York City. He said, I laughed within myself because I'm just a country boy, never been to New York City in my life. But he went. He went, and his youth leader from his church went with him. He went to the district attorney, to ask if he could see those boys. They said, no, you'll have to go to court and see the judge. So they went to court, and when they went in, they found out that when they went into the courtroom, there were 40 people there. Him and his youth leader stepped in, and they shut the door. He found out later that they only allowed 42 people to be in that courtroom at any one time. They were the last two that got inside. When the hearings had come to a close, then he grabbed his Bible and started walking toward the judge. And the guards grabbed him and said, you cannot approach the judge. They hauled him outside and forbid him from coming back in. He went outside, and as soon as he stepped out the door with his big Bible in his hand, and he was a skinny little guy, the newspapers were there and started taking pictures, and they wrote an article about the preacher with his big Bible that was there. They went back to Pennsylvania, disheartened and discouraged because they did not succeed in what they attempted to do. The more he prayed about it, the more he felt like he needed to go back. So in a matter of a few weeks, he went back to New York City. Again, the voice of the Lord directing him, speaking to him. He goes back to New York City again with his youth leader, this time not knowing what to do, he just goes in and he pulls over at a park, and he gets out and begins to walk around, and some young gang members approach him and said, hey, you're that preacher Dave. You're that preacher Dave that was in the paper. And they thought that since he was kicked out of court, that he must be like them, criminal. And so he realized, well, maybe the Lord was going to use that situation to open the doors for him. Still didn't know what to do. He wanted to reach those gang members that were in that picture. He didn't know how he was going to be able to do it. So they were just randomly driving around the city. And the traffic got such down on Times Square that they had to make a turn. And they went into a street into an area never had been in before. And they found a parking place. And the first parking place they found, they pulled into it. They got out and he said, we're looking for a young man that was the leader of a gang. His name is Luis Alvarez. And before that, he had got in the phone book and called every Alvarez in New York City to no avail. But now he pulls down the street, parks in the first parking place, and gets out and asks, I'm looking for Luis Alvarez. And finally someone says, well, you're parked right in front of his house. Right there. And God had led him right to the place that he wanted to be. The rest is history, and all the things that the Lord did, speaking to him, dealing with him. Later on, when he was starting Teen Challenge,
You know, they didn't know what they were doing. His brother said, we had no idea what we were doing. Every day we just prayed and sought the Lord and asked God, speak to us, help us to know what to do. We do not know how to operate a ministry like this. This was before rehab centers all over the country. And it really wasn't a rehab center, but it was a place where people could come and receive deliverance. They heard the voice of the Lord. The first building that they were wanting to buy, he went to a church in New York called Glad Tidings Assembly of God. The largest offering that this church had ever given before was $2,000. But in order to buy this first building, they needed $4,200 for the down payment. So they go and present the need to this church. $4,400 coming in the offering. They're rejoicing over the fact that God had given them even $200 beyond what they needed. Then when they went to make the deal, the lawyer said, well, there's going to be some additional fees and cost in this deal. It's actually going to be $4,400. Praise God. I want you to know God can speak. God can speak to you. We got to listen. We got to get in tune with the voice of the Lord. Shut out all the other voices. Be familiar with the voice of the Lord. And long to hear from him. Long to hear his voice speaking to you and dealing with your heart. He will, if you'll pay attention, if you'll be attentive. The house that Marcia and I live in, the parsonage up here, is the response of Brother Huff hearing the voice of God. He's praying about it. I don't know, not necessarily about that house, but he's praying, and the Lord prompted him, spoke to him, to go to the owner of that house that was being moved. It was down on the highway. It was going to be moved, and Brother Huff went to him and said, why don't you give that house to us, to our church? And the owner said, Brother Huff, you're crazy. We're not going to give you that house. We're not going to give you that house. And laughed at him. Later on, I think I got the story right. If I didn't, then somebody can straighten me up afterwards. Later on, just a matter of time, weeks, a couple weeks to 3 weeks, the owner of the house called Brother Huff and said, come and get the house. You move it, you can have it. And so the parsonage is an example of the fact that God can speak to people. Amen. He can speak to men and women who love him and want to hear the voice of the Lord. If you'll just pay attention and listen, we are spiritual beings. We are born of the Spirit. We are baptized in the Spirit. And so we should be able to hear the voice of God. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God wants to speak and communicate with his people. And so let's be attentive unto his voice. There are many, many needs. Lots of crisis situations. Some of you are facing big needs, big problems, things that sometimes are overwhelming to you. Ask the Lord, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you direct me? Would you show me what you want me to do? Would you lead me and direct me so that I'll know exactly what you want me to do? Would you speak? And then listen to that quiet, that still, small voice of the Spirit of God. Listen, and then act in faith. If it isn't contrary to God's word, if it doesn't contradict the word of the Lord, then I say, listen to the voice of the Spirit and act on it. Amen. Step out in faith and believe God and begin to trust that he can speak to his people. Amen. We're living in real serious times, real crisis times, but God that has spoken to men and women of God all down through the years can still speak to us today about our lives, about directing our steps, about what we are to do and how we're to do it, and exactly, specifically, the things that he would have us to do. Hallelujah. God can speak. God can speak. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you want to hear his voice? Do you want to pay attention and hear the voice of the Lord? Well, tune in. Tune in. He's always speaking. He's always communicating. And if you'll wait on the Lord, be quiet before Him, wait in His presence, God can speak to your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. One of the things about these times that we're living in is that people are very, very busy and very, very distracted. We don't take the time. Pay attention. Listen to the voice of the Lord. But oh, it's really a valuable, valuable thing. What a wonderful blessing and a gift it is to every born-again believer that God can speak to His people. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God.